Dr. Quincast is now on Patreon. If you would like to get early access to the podcast, higher quality files, stickers, and more sent right to your home, please visit patreon.com/drquincast. All support is appreciated and goes right back into producing the podcast.
They said the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast could not survive alone on the new frontier. But we won't give up. And we are not alone anymore. We have committed to covering every episode, and that might be the biggest challenge of all. Welcome to Dr. Quincast, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast.
Hello, welcome to the newest episode of Dr. Quincast. It's Kelly here with Mark.
Yeah!
Woo! So this is our second episode of Campaign Palooza.
Whatever that is.
I don't exactly. So, let's see. As we started in our first episode of Campaign Palooza, we introduced our election. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't already voted, or you can maybe vote multiple times, right? If you do it on like different days or something.
Well, you can you can vote once a day.
Yeah, there we go. Once a day. So every day. So hopefully you started last week so you get in a good like 2 weeks of voting. But just in case you didn't, start now.
Who are you voting for, Kelly?
I think I might be leaning towards Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf would make a good mayor.
Yeah, well, so I was thinking actually about...
I would love to vote for in real life.
I was thinking maybe, you know, the Reverend might be a good one, but then I was, like, talking to my dogs who pointed out all of Wolf's virtues.
Mm-hmm.
They really kind of talked me into it, you know?
Yes. Even though,
you know, Wolf put me in jail when I didn't feed them enough food, I still am going to stand by him.
Well, there you go.
Just like being arrested won't make Dr. Mike back down, as we're going to learn in tonight's episode.
Yeah, what episode are we talking about tonight? It's all about the right or wrong.
Right or wrong. Season 5, Episode 7, November 2nd, 1996.
Yeah, this is exciting. This is around daylight savings time, I think. It's that time of the year.
Yeah. It's like always the first. It's like the first Sunday in November.
Yeah, it's like always like right after Halloween.
Yeah.
And, so I have to, well, this would have been on Friday night or something. I don't know what day of the week that was, but I believe it was Friday or Saturday night, right?
Let me remember, do we have a Halloween episode in season 5? What happens season 5 Halloween?
You know better than I do.
I know, I'm just, like, thinking out loud to myself, like.
Self.
That would be kind of, it'd be like the season 5, episode 6, which one was that? I was trying to remember, like, which episode came before this one.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to play... I love how you call Andrew Drew.
Yeah, Drew. Or Dr. Drew. Okay, so the one before this was when Sully gets the offer to survey the Yellowstone National Park. So we didn't So we didn't have a Halloween episode this year?
Yeah, I guess not. Too much other stuff.
Working in the campaign. They were planning for Campaign Palooza.
Too many other... Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time to kind of go and vote for your favorite person. I think if you just go to drquincast.com, you could find a little link and click. And there's no registering. There's no... You don't really have to do anything. You just kind of have to show up.
Yeah, click. Just like... I was going to say just like real voting, but I guess...
That's a loaded answer right
there. All right. Let's keep it clean. No real politics here.
No. But you know what? It's not too far from the reality of the 1871, maybe. And I'm thinking this is 1871.
Well, as we learned in our first episode of Campaign Palooza, all you have to do to vote is have Sully deed you a piece of his land.
All you need is a little bit of a wink.
Yeah.
You know, and everything's
good. And
then
you just need Horace to register them. I wonder if Horace would have been so invested in doing that stuff if, I mean, because we talked last time about how he obviously was interested because he wants Dr. Mike to be mayor because he's going to outlaw prostitution. So if that, like, if Myra being freed from her contract weren't on the table, do you think he would have just, like, gone out on a limb and, like, done all that for them?
I would have to. It's an oath.
I took an oath.
I took an oath, and I would
Well,
have
he
to
did
be.
take an oath, but as we talked about, the whole thing seemed a little ethically shady.
Yeah, he definitely had a motive and an agenda when it comes to his decision.
Yeah.
So it's
Although
not
I guess
so
maybe
moral.
more shady on Sully's part. I mean, Horace, I guess, is just doing what he's told to do, right?
You know, and this is funny because I think it's season five where Sully starts getting super shady, right? I mean, including
Oh, well,
maybe.
at the end of the season, that's like when he
Whoops, sorry, I just hit
freaking
my
is
microphone.
committing federal crimes,
Well, he's doing one
behind.
here, practically. I mean.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, so like I even bring that up and we'll get into it in the
Yeah.
episode, but she's like is totally like yelling at him about committing treason, and I'm like, just you wait.
No, we have these notes, and one day I really do want to talk you into releasing the notes that we create, but we like you
Maybe
kind
a Patreon exclusive.
Yeah, maybe that would be an exciting thing to have. Because I think this one clocks in at 17 pages of notes.
Yeah, I
So
mean,
it's
we have a
screenshots.
lot of screenshots which take up a fair amount of
Yeah.
space,
Right.
but
So maybe
yes,
it's 4 pages of actual
like
notes.
actual text. Yeah,
But
single space though, which is
yeah,
impressive.
it's yeah, in a relatively small font. Well,
Yeah,
normal size font. And you
that's
started this
11.
trend of like nicknaming people, and it really does challenge me because you know the show so much better than I do, obviously.
You said they're like, who is she talking about?
Sometimes you do because it's like then P Money went to, you know, so all this kind of, and I'm like, which one is the P Money?
I'm just like, sometimes when I'm typing that, I'm like just waiting for a follow-up question from you. Like, who are you talking about?
Google, who's P Money?
Yeah.
Oh, I
I think
got
I
it.
was calling him Presty in this one, a little more.
Presty.
Presty.
Well,
Presty.
I added the dollar sign on the S for
I like
sometimes.
that too, yeah. And then I started out calling Andrew Drew Drew, and then I called him Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew, yes, I saw that. I was like,
You
that's
remember
so.
that TV show? Does he still have a show? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I know he's like a podcast, and because he's elevated to our level.
Yeah, well, maybe he should be on our show. Maybe
Yeah,
he
he had
can talk
like,
about a Dr. Drew episode.
yeah, it was like Dr. Drew had his like celebrity rehab or something.
Yeah, I remember
He would
that.
like it would always like start out with like Dr. Drew pulling up in like his Porsche Cayenne SUV. Like, how much money does this guy make? A lot.
Yeah,
A lot is
right?
the answer.
A lot of
I like
money.
Dr. Drew. I don't know why.
Drew makes less money.
Yeah.
Our Dr. Drew makes less money.
Ah, it's true though. But he's got a good head of hair, and that's one thing I did want to mention. I like his hair
He
in
has
this
a good head of
episode.
hair, and he has a father who comes back from the dead.
I don't remember that episode.
Because in the episode when they get married, he's like, I wish my parents were alive to see this.
Oh,
And then in the movie,
yeah,
suddenly
that's
there's
right.
his father.
Papa?
Yeah.
All right, so
Yep.
here we are in our first clip. We're at the train, and Drew Drew is unloading his own stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting little thing going on. Whoa, that's a little bit loud. Let me adjust that for the people who still have hearing.
See, your things from Boston finally arrived.
Oh, well.
That's like totally not loud for me, by the way.
Oh, really? Is it loud enough?
I can hardly hear it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
All right, well, we gotta fix that then.
Some of them. But I will be at the clinic this afternoon as we planned.
Here you are, Dr.
Is that any better?
Barely.
Really?
Yeah, I can hardly hear. I hear you just fine, of course, but
Well, that's good. I'm just kidding.
I'd rather be the other way around.
All right, I'm gonna adjust some stuff here and see if I can make this a little bit better.
Wait.
Well, it's been good having you back. Katie and I really appreciate it.
It's wonderful to be back.
How's that any better, or is it the same?
About the same.
Hmm. All All right. So what we're going to have to do is, this is something we were going to do a while ago, is put you on a separate device.
Okay.
No, I'm just thinking. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not ready to do that right now. But you really, can you hear it at all? I mean, is it lower than it normally is?
Way lower. I can barely hear it. Like, I could barely even, like, converse about it.
Hold on, I'm gonna change something. I did make one particular change. Let's see if this is any better.
I love Boston, but I have
Yay,
to...
Yay, it's back!
Oh, okay. All right, I did some... All right, there's a setting that I messed with, and maybe that affected it. All right. We're back.
All right. So now back to Drew getting his things.
I'm going to go back to the beginning of that clip.
Drew is getting his things from Boss Boss. On the train.
Aww.
So your things from Boston finally are...
Oh, well, some of them. But I will be at the clinic this afternoon, as we planned.
Here you are, Dr. Quinn.
Thank you. What's the clinic?
Well, it's been good having you back. Katie and I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back. I love Boston, but I have to admit, I sure miss the peacefulness around here.
Oh, I know just what you mean.
What does peacefulness mean? Explain. Brian has this kind of...
asking questions.
You know, in this scene, he's just kind of there. He's not doing too much, but his hair looks good also.
Yeah, he gets, like, some good improved hair. But yeah. I imagine he's standing there thinking the questions.
Yeah.
Instead of asking them.
Well, now that he's like a reporter, he has to write down all of his questions. Then interview Michaela each evening, and she's like, oh my God, shut up.
When I went back to Boston, I couldn't get over how noisy everything seemed to be.
What's it matter what time it is?
Town Charter says folks got to wait till noon to register to run for mayor.
Well, I guess a few more minutes ain't going to make any difference. I don't see a line of folks waiting to throw their hats in the ring.
Quite a stiff autumn breeze, wouldn't you say, Mayor Slicker?
Literally throwing his hat.
Yeah, literally throwing his head. And I just love how the music comes in. You got, like, the tuba. Like, burp,
yeah,
burp,
I know. Burp. I know. Preston always has good music.
Yeah. It's almost like a little bit like carnival music. Uh-huh, kind of.
Yeah.
I do so enjoy the fall, the sense of change that it brings, the nip in the air, the colors.
The elections?
Oh, precisely, Michaela. Oh, election. Okay.
The what? The erections.
How about you shut up?
Hello. Our town. The fall, the sense of change that it brings, the nip in the air, the colors.
The elections?
She even does something with her eyebrows. It's kind of funny.
Precisely, Michaela. Our town should be thriving, but it isn't managed properly.
I ain't heard no complaints.
Now, Jake. Not personal. This has to do with Colorado Springs. Our town is at a critical juncture in its development. And what we need is a mayor who will secure our future.
Don't you want to just bash somebody over the head with Dorothy's umbrella?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't mind her and stuff like that. For some reason, this episode, she kind of gets to me a little. She didn't even do anything in this episode, really.
She just makes a couple of comments about the reporting of the election.
Yeah.
She does that thing where she gets that guy to come in and draw the picture of Michaela, which I guess ultimately kind of helps that whole situation.
I love that little thing where she has no face and he's drawing it.
Yeah. I suppose she does something kind of useful.
Yeah, she's some ability, yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of the only... She always has the little parasol, too. She's, like, the only woman I can think of who regularly has the parasol.
What's a parasol?
A little umbrella.
Oh, okay. I didn't... Mm-hmm. I call it an umbrella. In New York. I'm just kidding. But, you know, she's so fair that I'm going to imagine that in real life she's probably so affected by the sun. I bet you...
Yeah.
Double duty here. It's to annoy us based on the character... But it's also because if you look at her face, it's kind of flush in this episode.
Yeah, she does look a little flush.
By the way,
I don't know. Sometimes I can't tell with her. I mean, because I don't think she ever really is wearing much makeup and stuff.
Yeah, I don't see her as wearing much makeup.
Yeah, and like, I mean, you can tell. I mean, look at her, Mark. I'm just kidding. I'm not being mean, but I'm like, you can tell she's not wearing much makeup, you know?
Oh,
not.
But yeah,
probably just more like production makeup. What does that mean?
That's a Little House on the Prairie joke.
Yeah, a little House on the Prairie inside joke there. But sometimes her cheeks are like really red like that. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, is she just wearing like kind of weird blush, or is she like burnt, you know? But like here she looks kind of like maybe burnt. I don't know.
She does. Kind of like
her like cheeks and her nose and yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, but she does kind of look very rosy in this, like a little rosacea-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But let's face it. Where does that future lie? With our children. Have you seen the textbooks that...
By the way, the mob mentality completely just attracted to something dramatic happening.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's just like, oh, boy. They have, like, this app on their smartphones for, like... locations, so like something's happening here, mob must gather
quick. We've
yeah
30 seconds to get there now.
Mob alert.
Exactly.
Mrs. Morales is reduced to using in our school. Yeah, they're out of date and pitiful condition. The least I can do is help fund the purchase of new textbooks with this check for $100.
What a good guy. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's giving up the money for the books. He gives a bunch of money to the church.
Brian's not clapping, though.
He's a child.
Yeah, but yeah, usually, you know, children will follow the crowd. Everybody's like, woo, you're the best.
He doesn't. So what's his reason to not, like, press him? Just because nobody in his family does, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, you mean to Sully. My pa. So, yeah, I mean, even Michaela looks at him like kind of like, oh, this is uncomfortable. But that's, I mean, if we're just going to look at it as this gesture, it's a good thing for the school.
As mayor, will you give my father a loan?
No! Get out of here!
How about you shut up?
Why don't you shut
up? How about you shut up? Books are all well and good, but the first thing we got to do... is make sure this town is safe for law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, I got you a sheriff while I was mayor, and if re-elected, I promise you, I will get you deputies, and I will put guns on them so that they will stop crime before it happens.
All right, so by the way, I got you a sheriff while I was mayor. You mean like Matthew weaseled his way into it?
Sure.
I mean,
did.
They had the election, but Matthew basically was like, I want to be sheriff.
Yeah.
And that's like how the whole thing started. I mean,
yeah.
Like he was like,
I mean, that was
I
it.
Need to be sheriff. And then Hank's like, I want to be sheriff. And then.
You're right. There's all, they always the having these like little competitions. And,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of weird.
12 o'clock. You can register now.
So exciting.
I don't know. He's like, I've never heard him sound so dull before.
And it's funny you pointed out that Sully and his cast of comedy members kind of show up. It's him and Matt. I don't know who else. There is a third
guy,
person.
Like, riding with them.
Yeah, so we just kind of hear Sully in the background. He's like,
aho.
He's just kind of, you know, but they look kind of cool coming in, but they hear the applause and they're thinking like, all right, well, somebody's doing something shady. If people are happy in this town, something is wrong.
Yeah.
So Dorothy wants to know who Mike is going to vote for. Everybody seems to want to know who Dr. Mike is going to vote for. Brian's going to write up some stuff about the election and... You know, it's just kind of an ongoing thing. It's an exciting time.
Yeah,
for Colorado
and Michaela is upset that Sully doesn't love voting.
Yeah, he's kind of like, I hate voting.
Yeah.
If I vote, then I can't complain. Or
yeah. Well, okay, so you made a point somewhere in here where you're like, he doesn't want to vote, but he wants to complain.
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
However, I will say in his defense, he doesn't really have a choice because she kind of brings him into complaining. Cause like, he kind of, I think is just generally apathetic. Like, I don't really care. I'm not going to vote for either one of them. You know, like I don't like either one of them. he's not that involved in the town's affairs, right? No, just by extension through Michaela, but he as a person is not really involved in the town, so I'm sure he doesn't really care that much. But then Michaela keeps like pressing him,
but do you think
like,
he
trying
just,
to be all like,
do you think he
vote,
just never voted?
What?
Do you think he just never voted?
Even well, with, yeah, no, I don't think he ever did. Well, I mean, because like,
it's kind of crazy.
I mean, I suppose. Trying to think. I mean, like, when would he have voted? Because, like, I don't think.
I just think.
I mean, I suppose theoretically, maybe he voted in like a presidential election at some point, but I could just totally see him just like never voting. I don't think he ever voted.
You know, I just feel like for somebody who kind of has a military background and is kind of in, you know, all right, voting can be kind of shady regardless of the time period that we're talking about. And I feel like it's a cop-out to not vote, especially if you're not voting in the Dr. Quinn cast election. It's a cop-out.
Well, I think...
And he was always a complainer in my eyes, even when Abigail was around. I just feel he was just always complaining about things.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think that Michaela... So, like, what I'm saying, though, is that whether you think he's a complainer or not, I think Michaela always presses him into complaining more than he has to. Well, I mean, I kind of get it, because, like, sometimes I'm like, you know, shut up.
Just shut up.
I mean...
What? Do you actually say shut up to the TV?
It's like yesterday my husband was making dinner and then like he comes into the side note. He comes into the den where I'm sitting and he's like, oh, what happened a few minutes ago? I heard you say sure did and he started like laughing.
So you got
I was talking to the TV, I was like, sure did.
So you actually introduced the sure did, which and if people don't know what that is, that's
you sure did.
Yeah.
And you got Pete to kind of start using this in everyday language.
Sure did.
Sure did. What an accomplishment.
Yeah. Yep.
The campaign is beginning and everybody's putting up their signs and Jake has like, you know, a little bit of just a shingle type of sign says vote for Jake, totally spelled correctly. Very impressive. And then Preston unrolls his banner, which I just thought was so funny. It's like elect.
He has
Preston.
Like a really fancy, like.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where these people get signs on short notice around this place.
Well, you know, I also don't know what the time period was here. I mean, but then again, Preston probably knew that he was going to be running for quite some time, right?
True. He's been planning it.
Yeah, he has plans for Colorado Springs.
And his sign is just about as dazzling as his smile.
He even has, like, kind of a campaign slogan. The future is now.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. It's like, elect Preston A. Lodge. Do we know what the A stands for?
I'm trying to think if they ever say it. I don't think so.
I'm surprised he never used that as, like, his initials or pal. Like, I'll be your pal.
Do we ever know what the third stands for? I'm just kidding.
This is Preston Lodge. Preston A. Lodge the second.
No, actually, what's crazy is he's Preston A. Lodge the third. But he's actually only the second one. His father just started going by the second and then made him the third because it sounded fancy. You know, thought it would give him advantages.
Yeah, I have a friend who goes by... all right, one of Ramiel's friends is always being called the third, right? To the point where it's kind of like, his name is just this, you know? Not that he's going to listen to it. So his name is Carl. And his father's name is Carl. So it's kind of like, why can't it just be Carl Jr.? I mean, all right, it's like a burger place, but it's, why can't it just, I just don't get it. And he's like, no.
Well, he has to be
and
Carl
they say
the
he's
third.
Not Jr. He's not Jr. It's Carl III. And I'm like,
weird.
Yeah, so it's very strange.
Carl III.
Carl III. I don't get it. All right, so we're in the town of Colorado Springs, and everything is kind of, you know, kind of boosting up. Now, I think I found a fart, and I just want to bring this into the forefront. You have to listen to it very closely, and that's why it's very important that the audio is working correctly. This is where they're sitting at Grace's restaurant and eating. And I might have to play this more than once, especially if you hear it. it's Lauren and the Reverend talking. There's a little girl sitting there. I don't know who that is, but they're just kind of talking and just listen closely. It's in about 3 seconds.
Turnip festival at Soda Spring.
Oh, yeah.
Look at it this way.
Wait, was that
who do you think is going to be?
Wait, I don't know. Wait, now I'm not hearing it. Sorry. All right, I'm gonna play the whole thing and listen very closely.
Remember the time I took the widow Farnsworth to the great turnip festival at Soda Spring.
Oh, yeah.
Look at it this way. Who do you?
No, it's not there. I don't think. It could have been that tuba in another mix. Embarrassing! How embarrassing! All right, but here's that clip.
You think it's gonna be best for business in this town?
Preston's going up to Robert E., and it's funny, too, because when Preston touches Robert E., he gives him that look of, like, why are you touching me?
Yeah.
See your point.
Well, I'm glad we can count on each other.
Now, when you say we can count on each other, you mean you're going to represent the colored folks' interest? Because I ain't the only one, you know. Conditions in Shantytown are pretty bad. You ought to take a look.
I'll do that.
And you'll let me know what you're going to do about it, right? Sometime for the election.
You can count on. Oh, this is Farnsworth. Have you heard the elections are coming?
I did think it's kind of weird. One guy walks by and kind of taps him on the shoulder.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. And you put a screenshot. You're like, who's this guy that's like grabbing his arm?
And he walks by and he basically doesn't even acknowledge Sully or even Wolf.
Yeah.
It's just,
who doesn't acknowledge Wolf?
Do you think this is one of those extras where he's like, I'm a huge Robert E. fan? He's like, I'm going to go and touch him. I touched him. I'm that guy.
And yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Maybe he's in the group and it's like, yeah, I was that guy. You know, do you want to interview me? And we'll interview him. But the time he touched Robert E.'s arm.
All right. What was it like?
It was amazing. Sully's just talking about you know, voting's for weak people or something. Voting stupid. It ain't smart, Michaela. And he's just really negative about it. And yeah, it just kind of goes on and on and on. Robert E. kind of has a sidebar with Jake, and they start talking about their KKK past, or you know, his KKK past.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of pointed out that the lighthearted music in the scene just doesn't really resonate really well with me because the topic is pretty serious. These are really, really intense episodes. And I just felt like...
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're probably just like how Preston has the tuba music. Yeah. They're giving like Jake music and they're trying to make it like this kind of fun scheming, which generally most of the episode is kind of this funny like back and forth.
I think it was supposed to be like Robert E. has him where he wants him, but I didn't get that from the scene.
Yeah.
You want to see this town run by some outsider with money or somebody you know like me? I know you pretty well, Jake. We've been through this, Robert E. That was a long time ago. I guess what I want to know is, what's different now? You've got a place in this town. Glad to hear you say that. What kind of place exactly? Well, I want to know how you feel about the problems we got. What you'd like to see us do about them? Oh, you want to hear from me? Regular? Sure, whenever you want. Whenever I want. I'll hold you to that.
Jake's like, oh, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, right. So in like 30 seconds, hey, Jake.
Exactly. You know, it's weird. Like, you could see neither one of these men know much about campaign promises and having to stick with it. But I'll give Jake this. He's a man of his word, it seems. You know, if he says he's going to do it, he has done it throughout the show. Like, with the giving women the right to vote and all that stuff.
Yeah, at the end of this... this one, they're all like, oh, we're going to print up this, like, newspaper thing and, you know, keep track of you actually keeping. And, I mean, like, they seem kind of like they're really, like, throwing it out at him. Like, you know, they think he's not going to be accountable. But in the past, I suppose he has, even though he's done some bad things for sure. But although in this instance, maybe because... So when he was running against Michaela, I mean, Michaela was less of a threat to him as far as getting elected than Preston. You know, Preston, who I think... Well, I mean, he has, like, a real chance, I think, you know, like, and I think he, like, perceives it that way, and he doesn't lose by that much. I mean, it's not that many votes.
Well, it's like 50 votes, I think.
Yeah, so I think that he maybe is, like, you know, perceives that he's, like, an actual threat, and is maybe also threatened by Preston because just, like, Preston's background. I mean, obviously, he's more educated, he has a lot more money, like, you know, he has... kind of all of this.
Well, he even says he can't buy, he can't compete with spending money.
Yeah.
I forget how he put it.
So I guess maybe because of that, he is more like going out. I mean, like in the, okay, so the last campaign thing, we saw him like, and Lauren was kind of goading him on to be like, kiss the babies and like campaign and stuff. But it was, in, like, a less serious fashion, because I don't think he ever was seriously that threatened by it, especially when Michaela started talking about outlawing drinking and stuff that. And then it's like, you're not even a threat. But this one, I think he is, like, really more seriously trying to campaign. And because of that, I think he's kind of going out and, like, making some offers for the sake of getting the votes. So maybe people... You know, like, for example, with Robert E. and the town council, you know, maybe Robert E. was like, I bet he's going to back out on this. However, because even at the end, like, he wasn't even going to put Robert E. on the town council, and they had to come and, like, you know, accost him about it.
You know, also,
and then he relented, and then he kicks the poor Rev off.
Yeah,
right. on it.
One thing I think that's kind of interesting, though, is before Jake became the mayor... He didn't have so much of a purpose in life or whatever. He was really kind of a lost person. He's still a bit lost, but I think being mayor is really important to him.
You know,
gives him this...
Well, which is pretty much what he even says as much in here, where he's like, this is the only thing I'm good at, or, you know, something to that effect. Like, I'm good at doing this. So.
And highlights, you know, he's good
at that. Yeah.
Here we go.
I don't think you understand. Grace... I'm prepared to offer you a sizable percentage of all the profit the dining room brings in.
Percentage? Your hotel's just starting up. I couldn't count on much.
Low blow for a man like Preston.
Yeah, like really. It's like, I couldn't. It's just starting up, blah, blah, blah.
Up for business and profit.
How about a weekly salary applied against a percentage?
Well, I was thinking more like wages in addition to a percentage. Donna Mae.
Oh, that's her name, Donna Mae.
Donna Mae.
Donna Mae.
Thank
you. You've got a hard bargain, Grace.
Although I didn't see the person's face, so I don't know if that's the same waitress.
That we see all the time, yeah.
Not many people in town are as professional as we are. We share many of the same interests, don't you think?
It's almost, he's almost like flirting with her in a weird way.
You like Robert E. too.
Exactly.
You know, you're right. And it might help me to decide what is best for this town if we could come to terms about the hotel.
This is a scene where they wake up in a bed and it's like Preston's in between the two of them. I don't know. It'd be very funny.
Is this fan fiction?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance.
Before the election.
I thought we just did.
Talk is cheap, Preston. Put it in writing.
Yeah, Grace is really smart, and she's very sassy, and just a great business person.
Yeah, she's very savvy. She has definite, like, street smarts, you know? Like, she knows how to get done what she wants and kind of how to manipulate situations, you know, so they work out for her. And she's smart. Like, she's not going to be, like, taken advantage of, you know?
Mm-hmm. In this next scene, you know, Preston's just kind of moving around. It's like, who are the power players of the town? So who's next is Sully and Michaela, right? And yeah, I really think if you listen to this as like an MLM like marketing pitch, it's that's exactly what it sounds like. And even their look is like, what's going on here? Like you buy in, and then you just have to get friends to buy in, and then once
and then you
have them,
and then you get a car,
and then you get a car. It's like, listen, look, if you have the time to surf on the AOL internet, you have enough time to make $1 million.
Yeah.
This
working
month.
From home.
Exactly.
Ask me how.
I'm writing checks all day. Why are you writing checks? I mean, I'm getting checks all day.
Michaela? Sully?
I'm not going to insult your intelligence by pretending that we haven't had our differences of opinion.
This is the ultimate opening, right? It's just like the perfect, like, warmer-upper.
But you have to agree that Jake can't help this town prosper the way I can. And Sully, even you have to admit that prosperity is a good thing.
It all depends on who's prospering.
Oh, yes. Wicked prosperity.
And that's something you've coined as a great name. And it is. It would make a pretty cool bottle of something. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm thinking like it could be like a beer, like a craft beer.
Yeah, like an Amber Ale. Or a band.
We all know how much you despise prosperity.
It merely provides a better education for your children, a safer town, paved streets.
Excuse me.
Cloud dancing is entering.
Excuse me. Is that sarcasm? Right.
Excuse me. I have to go fart.
I was just like, Preston, I kind of like that he's like sarcastic because like yeah. I kind of am too. Like I kind of get it. Like but he's I know he's not very like popular, but it's just pretty funny when like Sully is just being all like, "Mrah," and then he's like, "Oh, I know how much you hate prosperity, Sully."
Right.
It's just really funny.
I know you're against all progress, Sully.
All it does is help you and your family.
You're against earning a buck. But so he has Michaela alone now. So the whole tone of it all changes.
No, now.
Exactly. Nailed it.
Be honest with me, Michaela. Who do you think can better manage this town?
Well, these are issues that should be debated publicly.
A debate? That's brilliant.
So it's kind of hilarious how he's like giving her the credit, which I just love how he just credits her for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention for a brief moment? Dr. Quinn has a wonderful idea. A public debate on the issues which will impact the future of Colorado Springs.
Well, it's actually is pretty, I think, savvy of him to credit her with this idea.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is concerned about what she thinks about the election.
Right.
So when he's like, oh, Dr. Mike thought this would be a good thing to do, then people are going to go to the debate because Dr. Mike thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, everybody listens to Dr. Mike.
Mike.
You beat Dr. Mike, you can beat Preston.
The music is so ridiculous. I love it.
Burp, burp, burp. Burp, burp, burp.
I want that for a ringtone.
All right. Tomorrow.
And I like the like fake Brian in the background. This kid is like, I'm better than him. I'm better than Sean Tuvey.
He has a dog named
Cat. I don't know. He has a cat named Cat.
Yeah. It's like Bizarre O'Brien. So he has a cat instead.
He has a cat named Cat. He's a turtle named Turtle. He's not the most imaginative kid in the world. And neither is Sully, really.
He has a bird named Bird with a Y. Bird.
We get to talk about Cloud Dancing where... Can you kind of clear up why he's there? It's just... This whole thing kind of went over my head a bit.
I'm not really sure why Cloud Dancing, why we see him just sort of like creeping on the edge of town.
Well, he came to get medicine, right, for someone.
Wait, but he like is kind of creeping up outside of town, right? I'm trying to like get to the clip. It's like he just kind of appears out of nowhere, and you're like,
well, I think he came this close because he had to find the medicine for his son, and I guess he had to come close to the town in order to find it.
Well, the dude that was captured, what is the guy's name?
I don't remember getting a name actually on him.
But he like left a reservation from like Pueblo or something, and he came up to get this medicine. But I'm not sure what. So he's like captured, and then I mean I guess they're holding him at the reservation. But then Cloud Dancing becomes like a mediator to be like, he needs this medicine. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Like, I guess because he's the medicine man, so he has like an interest, you know, in getting the medicine. I guess he knows about it.
But so he does have a plan for Sully to help this guy escape from the clutches of the police, or
because I guess like yeah, they want to get him to escape so he can get it back to his son, right?
And yeah. It's essentially treason, right? And Sully's mm-hmm. like, whatever, treason. You know, it's no big deal. It's not like I'm a kid.
Well, and then even here, yeah, it's kind of interesting because here Cloud Dancing kind of is like coming up with the idea at the end of this season when he's committing treason. Cloud Dancing even is like, you have a family to think about, you know?
And this is, it kind of got me a little bit more annoyed at Sully. It's like he's really not thinking of anyone but him. Well, I can't say he's just thinking of himself, but he's not thinking about his family's impact if he does get caught.
Well, so the thing that happens, like, with this episode, as we see, and then later on, when, you know, at the end of this season, that he is not, so, like, from his perspective, he thinks that he's doing what's right, because he, like, you know, wants to help the Cheyenne, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, he obviously cares a lot and is very deeply affected. But he just, like, cannot stand to, like, you know, try to do things in a way that would not be him committing treason. And he also is not really thinking, like, of his family, right? Which he really should be putting the family first.
Yeah, or at least somewhere in the conversation. He just kind of makes a decision as though they'll be completely unaffected. But Michaela gets back to Michaela pretty quickly, and you know how do you break this to your spouse? Like, oh, by the way, tomorrow I'm not going to be around.
Well, maybe that's why he at the end of the season just doesn't even tell her about it, because he's like, well, the first time she wasn't too cool about it, so
she's gonna be real awful now.
I don't want to commit treason. I'm just not going to tell her at all.
Look, I'm going to do it, but I don't want to hear it. All right.
You're the one who didn't want to even legalize weed on your platform.
Sully, that's treason. They shoot people for treason.
He has family back in the New Mexico territory. It's only going to take me a few days.
And you have family here.
What if it was me? What if I couldn't get back to you?
Well, there has to be another way. You could apply to the government.
What if it were me? It's... How is that making any sense whatsoever? In what scenario would he be stuck somewhere? I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
He's grasping at straws.
Yeah, he really is. It's like you've lost the conversation.
You know how long that takes? His son
what
could be dead.
What if it were Wolf?
What if it were Wolf? How dare you?
By then.
We don't know that.
Waiting is only going to make him more suspicious. They're going to put on more of a guard and make it impossible to get him out of there after he's turned down.
Well, naturally, I feel sorry for him, but...
I think he's just making excuses to go to this area and be like a drug mule. He's going to just...
With the wormwood? He's going to be a wormwood mule?
Wormwood. Yeah, I mean, wormwood is a big ingredient for... What is that drink? We were talking about several episodes ago. You said you had it in England.
Mead.
Not mead. Maybe that is what you said.
Yeah, we were talking about mead when I said that.
The drink I'm thinking of I had in England. So it's the one where it tastes like Sambuca. It's like a licorice flavor, and you put an a cube.
Pastis.
What?
Pastis?
No. The where you pour water over a sugar cube. Absinthe.
Absinthe?
Yes, absinthe. And wormwood is a big ingredient in that, and wormwood is poisonous in high doses. So that's why it was outlawed in the States for so long. Now you can get decent absinthe here.
Let's name other drinks that we've talked about at some point.
A rusty nail. Slow jitter fizz.
And I was thinking about the licorice thing, because there's like pastis, which is like a dessert thingy.
Like an aperitif?
And it tastes like very much like licorice, but does not have the wormwood.
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 How about you shut up?
How about another sarsaparilla?
That's what I have to give the clip of. How about another sarsaparilla? Nodhead. All right.
It's far too dangerous.
I like her dress. I made a point to kind of call it out.
Yeah, I like it a lot too. Like, I mean, blue is my favorite color, so I like it. But also, like, it's kind of like a geometric stripe type thing. It looks very nice.
Is it blue is your favorite color?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Blue is not my favorite color, although I don't dislike it.
I quit
immediately. It's like...
But
I do think that... for some people, when you have these kind of mixtures and everything, and you have like a navy blue and a royal blue and a light blue mixed together, it can look really, really great. I just don't like blue on a lot of things. That's all.
How about you shut up?
How about you shut up?
You sure did.
There was a time when you would have done anything to help a man like this.
I thought that was a clip at first. I was like, whoa, what's that one?
Exactly. What are you saying?
Maybe we'll not go to heaven then.
Oh my God, it's the ghost of Ingrid. R.I.P.
All right, because like Sully wants to commit treason and then she comes in with that.
Well, things have changed. We have a family now, a baby.
That's got to live in the world that we make.
He has a pretty good voice here. It's recorded really well. He's like, hey, how are you?
Kind of like gravelly, like smooth at the same time.
And I did get this screenshot of the Rondelay window. And that is definitely not the same window.
Yeah.
It's like frosted glass. Same shape.
Well, we missed the episode when Wolf took the tomahawk and
smashed through it.
Beat it through the window.
This is the right thing to do, Michaela. You know that. I leave tomorrow.
I think it was King that did it, actually.
I just got a great idea for a Patreon exclusive. Is you know those bamboo flutes, like where it's like a pan flute?
Yeah.
I bet I have one around here somewhere for the next episode. I'll play it.
Very nice.
I'll do this one just for me when I'm going on and on.
How about you shut up?
I'll give it to myself. So yeah, she's just distraught. She's like, all right, so I guess my opinion means nothing. Which is just really a slap in the face, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Preston goes and offers Dr. Drew, offers Andrew to work at his clinic if he votes for him. It doesn't totally say you have to vote for me, but it's kind of, you know, it's implied. I like how he references that Michaela gets paid in chickens and preserves.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, it's proof that she
does. This is before she starts charging people formally. However, it still brings up why in Money Trouble season 3 was she like, I bring in a fair amount of money for my practice. Oh, really?
Yeah, you get that comment, and it's like, what are you talking about?
You just want that Rondelay. That king is going to smash.
They're watching Preston go from person to person, kind of winning the votes. And Jake's getting a little nervous, I think. We get some funny Lauren phases where he's like, ah.
This whole episode, you just see him in the background, like, making these funny little faces.
I think the whole series, he's just, the more you watch him, the more kind of like, he's just always making these faces.
Like, this episode, he doesn't have a ton of dialogue. He's always there. Like, we see him a lot, but he doesn't have a lot of lines. Yeah. But he's just always there making these faces.
He's always enjoyable to watch on screen. Definitely.
For you, Dr. Mike.
Oh, thank you.
It's like
he has a cold.
Yeah, it is. And it's like a thing of jelly that he hands her. It's like, was he holding it the whole time while she was bandaging him up? Is it kind of weird? Like, what's this huge jar in your hand?
He's just waiting for the time to be right.
And she doesn't even look at it. She's like, oh, thank you. Oh. I mean,
try to keep your arms still. The less movement, the better.
Thank you. By the way, who are you going to vote for in the election?
Oh, I haven't really decided yet.
Well, when you decide, I'd really like to know what you're thinking.
G'day, Amos.
Amos.
G'day.
I really wish that there was a scene where Michaela goes and puts the jelly jar with all of the other ones that she has. We have a similar scene like that on Little House on the Prairie.
All the apples just, like, falling out of Doc Baker's
and, like, you know, hams and stuff like
that. Yeah. And his apples are rotting.
Yeah, and it's like he doesn't know what to do with it all. And it's kind of like that would have, like, really brought it home with her when she does have to start charging. But, yeah, so she's just not sure. And Andrew is about to call her out for it a little bit, for not being more sure.
You aren't seriously considering voting for Jake. Preston is so much more educated and knowledgeable.
And primarily concerned with helping himself.
That's how I would have described Jake.
Heard my name. Hope you're saying good things.
No, actually.
Yeah, they just, like, look at him like...
Yeah, Andrew looks a little busted.
I have an errand to run. Excuse me.
So, Jake.
Like, actually, I wasn't...
I'm going to go write Colleen a letter.
I'm going to write her a letter about how bad you are.
How bad you are.
More like, what can I do for you?
Pardon me.
I ain't going to lie to you, Dr. Mike. I want to get reelected. I ain't got Preston's money. I can't buy my way in. Besides, I figure it's best to do this clean. Find out what I can do to help folks.
Well, if you really feel that way, Jake, I'm the wrong person to ask. I mean, my life is easy compared to most people here.
What was that? My life is easy compared to most people here. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, I'm like, it's about time. But she kind of recognizes that, because sometimes the way that she acts, it's like, do you even know who you're talking to? Like, I think I maybe brought that up when we were talking about, like, luck of the draw, but she was, like, super against people, like, putting money behind him. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when Grace was like, well, that's easy for some people to say, like, people who, like, have always had everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, okay, so I'm not saying that she doesn't have, like, I mean, everybody has challenges with stuff, right? Like, right. I'm not saying that there are, like, I mean, clearly she has, like, challenges, and she's, you know, a woman doctor. Like, like, the whole thing, like, comes with challenges. But... She
gets bailed out pretty easily.
She does. And she, you know, that she even, like, had the opportunities, you know, for, like, education and everything like that, that a lot of people didn't, even still don't. And then it's, like, so there's that. But then it's also, like, she'll be, like, throwing this stuff in front of, like, you know, Grace. And it's, like, she used to be a slave, man. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Who do you think you're talking to? Like, it's, like... I mean, yeah, sure, you've had some challenges, but it's like, think about your audience here. Like,
right. It's kind of like, no, it's an excellent point. It's kind of like, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened to you is that you didn't have enough money for that building until your mother gave it to you.
Yeah. Right. So it's like you're talking to somebody who, like, was actually owned by somebody else.
Yeah, it's very difficult to, I guess. So
on the one hand, I'm kind of, like, glad that she's like, well, actually, my life is pretty easy compared to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But also, it's kind of, like, a weird, I don't know. kind of hits weird the way she says it.
And it's interesting, you're bringing up her being able to even have the option to become a doctor, and it kind of reminds me of when we interviewed Beth Sullivan, and mm-hmm. she said how people back in the 19th century, if a woman did become a doctor, more than likely the person had a father who was a doctor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they were kind of born into it in a way. And I think we were both kind of surprised to hear that that is kind of a statistic.
It makes sense. I don't know if I necessarily would say it's surprising. I actually think it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, no, I think it makes complete sense. I just never really thought about it personally. Oh, maybe you did.
Yeah.
But
sure did.
Shut up.
That's what happens when you accidentally hit two buttons at the same time. All right. So they're going on about things.
But let's face it, Dr. Mike, you've got influence. The kind of influence I used to have before you got here.
Jake, I never met.
You're a better doctor than I could ever be.
So Jake had influence. People really respected him, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think he's always had influence. I mean, the fact that he was ever even thought of to be mayor, and people like latched onto it pretty quickly.
That's a good
quickly.
Point. Yeah.
And before she was there, he was kind of doing the doctoring, even though it was pretty shabby. although, like, not really out of place for, you know, like a small town.
Yeah, a barber would normally do that. Gross.
But I mean, I suppose, and he's been there, you know, for a long time. He. Even before he became mayor, he was, you know, a core member of the town,
mm-hmm.
a town leader in a way, and that he's like a stable citizen. Like, he's been there for a long time. He runs a business that, like, pretty much all of the men at least use.
Not so.
I could see him being an influencer.
Sully and Hank, not fans of Jake's work.
Not fans of his work.
Yeah, Sully.
Oh, because their hair is long. Hey, well, somebody was cutting Sully's hair. Because when he had that braid, the braid was longer than his hair. So
that's true.
Like, he's been getting haircuts somewhere.
Don't make me look stupid.
But being mayor, that's something I'm good at. Maybe the only thing I'm good at. And I want to get better.
Then you need to take advantage of this opportunity. Listen to what people say. At the debate this evening, for example, and then do everything that you can to make their lives better. You do that, and I'll happily support you.
That's fair.
The big statement, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think she's almost calling him out and saying, like, yeah, you're probably not going to do that, though. So. But we're getting a very serious Jake here. You know, we don't get a Jake that's so serious normally.
This is our Jake who's developing. I mean, we're, you know, what, a season away from him getting married?
Yeah, that's true.
So he's, like, you know, kind of growing into the man that he becomes.
You have Brian out there. He's doing the Cooper poll, which I think it's coined as later. And we get the little old lady.
The Pooper poll?
The Pooper poll?
The Pooper poll? The Pooper poll?
But.
So, yeah, we have the little old lady who somebody pointed out that she actually had a small talking part at some point.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of fun.
He's
out there. He's pulling his little heart out. And we get over to Robert E. He's going up to Jake. And I think this is just an incredible demand. This is a very smart play on Robert E.'s part, I think.
Remember what you said about wanting to hear my concerns?
I'm always available.
Well, I've been thinking the best way would be for me to have a seat on the council.
That's an interesting idea, Robert E., but you know we only got 5 seats.
Well, see, I've been talking to some of the people in Shantytown, and they say they ain't gonna vote. Because they don't think anybody's going to do anything for them. There's a lot of votes there.
I'll give it some thought.
I can deliver them for you.
You can't. I mean, is that a deal?
It's a deal.
You're going to make a good councilman, Robert. Huh?
You sure did.
Yeah, I mean, they shake hands on it and everything, and Grace is like gonna throw up.
She's like repulsed, totally repulsed.
But she's mostly repulsed, I think, because she has a whole other deal on with Preston.
Yeah.
But she's also mad about the KKK stuff.
Yeah, you know? No, right. I was going to say it's layered because, like, she supports Preston and she has a whole other deal. But I think that even all that aside, I mean, because she even brings up in the previous campaign episode about the whole, like, KKK thing.
Yeah.
But she definitely is like, yeah, remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like, it's kind of like they should have, I guess, spoken about it quite a bit more.
I don't know. It's weird stuff.
I said to clip this. I don't know what it is. I didn't make a note. I'm just curious what it is.
Where's Sully?
Oh, that's it. I wanted to.
Where's Sully?
Maybe it's not that funny. All right. So
when we're reviewing season 6 episodes, where's Sully?
Exactly. Where's Sully? And that's Preston asking that. It's so funny because that's how we kind of watch the show now. We're constantly looking for clips to play and little moments that bring us these forever joy moments. You know?
But!
Like that. I mean, it's just one word. And it's just funny.
But the way he says it is so funny.
But! Like his mouth explodes. But!
He's so much like Harriet. I could see Harriet sounding like that too.
He's always growl, like kind of what do you call that? Like that sound people make, like they're like being a curmudgeon or something. But it's
What is that called? It's like a not really a grunt. It's like a
Kind of a grunt.
Groan.
Right? Like, you know, everything's. All right, so we're at the debate. Let's get in on this.
Now, 2 years' time, will Jake have the streets paved? Will he bring business and prosperity to our town?
Now, paved? Like, what would they even do with a paved road? I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good use of money.
I mean, it seems like maybe the town needs to develop a little bit more.
Yeah, like in New York City, they were paving the roads at this period of time. I don't think Colorado Springs needs to. No offense.
We've been doing just fine.
That's right.
Just fine means you're satisfied with the way things are, not striving to improve the lives of the people of this town. Now, you know, when I say something is going to get done, you know it's going to get done.
It's weird. You have Andrew just nodding yes to everybody.
You know, he doesn't have any real opinions.
Is he even allowed to vote? Can all men vote? Or is it... only property owners?
No, I assumed that all men could. And then...
And women if they own property?
Yeah, that's kind of the way they made it seem in that episode, isn't it?
Huh. You would think
I'm not sure, though.
I mean, they don't even bring up the whole thing with the women voting, like they did in our last campaign palooza.
Well, that's because they just have the vote. Oh, no, it must have been, because they didn't explicitly say it, but so in the first one, when the women had to have property to vote, so they, like, did that whole thing with, like, he deeded out the land, and they all become, you know, Michaela has 30 landlords.
Yeah.
but then, at the end, like, as part of their compromise, it's like, women have the vote. So then it was, like,
that's, right.
That's
part of the thing
now, where it's like, now women just have the vote. So I guess... I don't know why specifically women needed property and apparently men didn't.
You know what we need to do is know how many, what was the vote in the last episode versus this one to see if there was a drop off, because this one, all the women are voting.
Right.
Or they can vote anyway.
Right.
So I'm kind of wondering, because I feel like when they said the number, it's like 150 or 171 or something like that. And so a total of like 300 and change. And it just seemed low in comparison to the last episode.
You thought it seemed low?
Yeah, I feel like it was higher last time.
Okay, I don't remember what the numbers were last time, but I was thinking this time was higher.
All right, well...
We're going to have to go back and look up the numbers.
After this episode, I'm going to go, who knew? Who knew?
Perhaps you should discuss the town's concerns instead of attacking each other.
maybe you should shut up.
Like, how about you shut up?
It's like, who is she to just kind of yell out like this? This isn't, I mean, is it a town hall? I thought it was a debate.
I mean, she's like acting like a moderator.
Yeah, like she's not up on stage. She should be up there as the moderator. With a shirt that says moderator.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I've been thinking. Seems he keeps telling us what we should do, instead of asking you what you think needs to get done.
I get more and more strangers leaving my cafe without paying their bill. Now what you gonna do about that?
How about you shut up?
Growth and prosperity comes more crime. And as mayor, I'll make sure our sheriff has plenty of deputies to help him fight it.
I try.
Making our streets safe. He's like, do I get a new badge?
Well, his that's face, good.
His face right there. It's almost like he's going to turn to Michaela right now and go, that's me.
I know. He has this really dopey look on his face.
I'm the sheriff. And he's like shaking, like, yeah, that's a good, yeah. Good idea.
Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure that's a promise that Jake does not follow through on. I don't think we ever see deputies.
Yeah.
Sure seems a lot more important than paving them.
That's right, Jake.
Hank's good into it.
Yeah.
Hank is going to be involved in the democratic process.
There you go again, Jake. It's odd, isn't it? That a man who tried to lynch Robert E. should be so concerned with law and order.
He's got a point.
A long time ago.
Just like your drinking was a long time ago.
Let's get to the issues, Mr. Lodge.
It'd be great if Jake just like breaks out a flask, like, I ain't ashamed of my drinking.
Pass it around.
Character is an issue. It's the most important issue.
You see Hank taking the swig like you did at Myra's wedding?
Yeah.
No. Or was that the engagement party?
Before the engagement party, out of the bottle.
Yeah.
That's when we see him standing in the corner just like drinking out of the bottle.
Yeah, that was that's the one I was thinking of.
I suppose Jake could try to come back at me, talk about how I chopped down the kissing tree.
People still talk about this. People really dislike Preston. I think that's something that maybe we should discuss. On all of the forums, people seem to really attack Preston for really just doing things that he's supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's like they're a little unfair. They seem to just hate him because he's a banker.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they get mad about the kissing tree, but it's like, and yet it was on property that was apparently for sale, and he bought the property. I mean,
right?
What's he supposed to do?
Right. I mean, and was. I don't know. I really feel as though the tree itself wasn't a very good example of a nice tree.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care. Like, if it was, like, a big, beautiful, like, oak or something, and it was, like, really nice to look at, I would say, yeah, you know what? You got to keep this tree. But it kind of wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that people just kind of really... They don't like him because he's like a banker, because he's a businessman.
He's the rich, smug guy.
And like they don't like him because he like wants to make money, you know, like investments and
right.
profits and everything like that he's very concerned with.
He's no Sully.
Which really, like, I don't know. Can you really hold that against the guy? I mean, sure, like I could understand, like, you know, you're not his best friend or whatever. You know, that's fine. You don't have to like BFFs.
One person said that she didn't like him because he's pushing Sully's buttons.
Yeah. Well, he does do that in that episode when they're like out searching for the senator's son.
Yeah.
He definitely does. So, I mean, like, I wouldn't say that he... I mean, he does a lot to people, too. He like, has these little lines, you know, that you can tell he's kind of, like, messing with people a little bit.
He enjoys it. You could see, like, the character is really written... to kind of be hated and to create, I don't know, conflict. And he kind of gets off on it.
But, I mean, I could kind of see him also being, like, you know, he's a pretty independent guy, I would say. And I don't think he really, like, needs these people to approve of him. Like, he has his, like, vision for what he wants to do, and he's going to do it, you know, regardless. And he knows that these people don't like him, which I think maybe even feeds into that a little bit. You know, he comes to town, he's doing the stuff, you know, just doing his bank thing. Everybody kind of turns against him right away. And then now he's just going to mess with them. Like, I don't know. I kind of get it.
I have very few reasons to dislike Preston. I think I really like him. I know you do as well.
Yeah, I think he's a great character. I think he's really interesting. Like, yeah, granted, sometimes he's a little bit obnoxious, but who isn't on this show, by the way?
But, you know, Preston...
I mean, everybody has moments where you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Remember the leper girl?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a total gentleman there. He's showing a different side to Preston until he learns, you know, she's got leprosy.
He did try to pay for her medical care.
Yeah. No, he did try to do very nice gestures from a distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, all right. So the campaign, I mean, the debate goes on.
But you know what? That was a mistake, and I learned from it. And I don't see how Jake has learned from any of his mistakes.
What are you talking about?
Character denigration is not an issue.
They're both the same. They only want to make out for themselves. Doesn't matter who you vote for.
Yes. Yes, it does matter.
Who are you going to vote for, Dr. Mike?
Well, everyone has to make up their own mind.
Well, what do you think?
People are just so funny in the background. Yeah, I want to know what she thinks, too. Kelly, who are you voting for? I'm going to vote for Wolf. And we get this, like, shot of Dorothy, and she has the pencil in her mouth, like, yes, this is the scoop.
Yeah, like, she's going to report on what Dr. Mike thinks.
Well, I have to say that I've come to believe that Jake really does care about the people of this town. And you have to consider that Jake hasn't used his office to profit personally. I think that Jake's presentation here tonight proves that he is the candidate who is more concerned about discovering your needs than dictating them.
Yeah.
What does dictate mean?
Is Brian there? I don't think he's there.
No, it's past his bedtime. He has homework, then he has to go to bed.
He's giving Wolf a bath.
Well, Sully's off committing treason right now, so he's like, okay, Brian, he needs a bath. And then what you need to do is you need to take this wire comb, run it through his hair. And then after you're done with the wire comb, take this paddle brush, put the blow dryer on low heat.
But he growls at me. He doesn't like that, Sully.
After you blow the hair on low heat, what you're going to want to do is take this roller and set it so you get that volume.
He bit me last time, Sully. Now, it's interesting. Everybody's going Jake, 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 Jake. But if you look at the audience, nobody's saying it.
Yeah, I thought that too.
It's like, what? Who's saying this? He's like cheerleaders in the back. You got a funny shot of the Reverend just kind of like, oh, this is, feels good. This is a good time.
Yeah. He's having a moment.
It's a very visual thing, as you point out, this next scene. Because we cut to Sully breaking the law, which will come up later. I can't even say they're basically breaking out this captured Indian. They create a stampede with horses. I don't know how you do this. Where you just get a bunch of horses and just go.
I guess they scare them somehow, get them riled up.
But they have to kind of corral them first.
Well, it's nighttime. Are they already in a corral?
Yeah, I guess.
They're kind of all, like, you know, probably unsaddled and bedded down for the night.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I'm so used to seeing horses with saddles, I was thinking they were wild horses or something.
Yeah, I think they're just, like, you know, hanging out, ready for their jam jams.
Can I get my sugar cube, Sully? So they're all trying to escape. Sully finally gets him out, and we hear one gunshot, and that bullet goes into the Indian. Mm-hmm. We think, anyway. Oh, yeah, no, he definitely does.
Yeah, because he's the one who gets shot.
So back at the homestead.
People said they're going to vote for him after the debate. Hey, where's Sully?
He said he might be out overnight hunting.
Brian's, like, indoors wearing his coat with the baby, and he's got his notepad in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take off your coat, stay a while. Like, I don't understand the problem. It's probably, like, 95
degrees. I think he just wears it up to his bed, though.
What?
He wears the coat up to bed, doesn't he?
Does he?
You see him go upstairs. He must just keep it in his room, I guess.
Yeah.
It's going to be awful hard for Mr. Lodge to catch up. Good night. Good night.
Yeah, he goes up with him. So there's about to be a lot of ruckus, for lack of a better term. And we are to believe that Brian doesn't hear any of this because he doesn't come
back. Yeah, I know. It's like he's not even like, he still has his coat on. There's no way he's sleeping yet.
Right. Well, it's way past his bedtime. It's probably like 8:30 or something.
He's been shot. He lost a lot of blood.
And he just pulled the Fonzie move, by the way, where he just kicks the door.
That's probably why. What was that episode when it was like broken and Brian kept trying to fix it? Was that before or after this?
Oh.
And he's all like, I'm the man of the house.
No, it's later because Sully's gone, right?
Yeah. So like he...
I mean, Sully's like on the run, I think.
Jeez. What is it that he's fixing? No, it bothers me. I feel like I just watched it like the other day. Anyway. Yeah.
He must have been an artery. Did anyone follow you?
No. This is going to be all right.
Let me take a look. We'll need to remove the bullet and apply a ligature to the artery. Did anyone see you?
I told you no.
I told you why you're making me repeat myself. Make me a sandwich, woman.
Why are you so uncool about this, Michaela?
Are you wearing a wire? Why you keep asking me this? You a narc?
Give him some chloroform.
Hey, Sully, don't pay any attention to the baby over there. I mean, it's just your daughter.
Well, it's like in a couple episodes ago, when she was like struggling, like in the fifth season, like early on, she's like struggling to balance like being a doctor and, you know, having a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she's trying to figure out a way for it to work and stuff isn't really working, and then Sully's like, I guess I could watch her. And then she's like, are you sure that's okay? And I'm like, what else is he doing?
Right, it's kind of like, well,
like, he doesn't have a job, like, he's not doing anything else.
Right, it's like, I guess you can. I guess you can too. My God.
I wouldn't have brought him here if he didn't need a doctor.
He wouldn't have needed a doctor if you've waited and done it the right way.
It's the only way. Don't worry, I'll get him out of here by first light.
If he's well enough to travel.
What did you want me to do? Let him die?
This relationship between the two goes all the way back to season one, I think. They have no chemistry here in the sense of being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like... She's the doctor. It's the only reason he's there is to use her services.
Sully?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, because like, otherwise, why would she be involved in this at all?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't...
But, I mean, also, if the doctor were anyone except his wife, I don't think he... Or her, you know, I don't think... Like, her before they were married or now his wife, I don't think.
But I don't know. It just seems to me to be such a... it reminds me of an argument that they would have had in season one before they were together.
Mm, yeah, I could see that. But she did take it off, and he knows that.
You gotta stick to it. So we find that the army is looking for... The next day, the army is looking for the Indian who's escaped.
The escaped boy.
The boy.
Do you like that on my notes?
He's the smooth boy. The Gazette. By the way, I'm looking at the Gazette, and I didn't look at it before. I don't know if you did. It is 1871, it says.
Oh, cool. I didn't look at that.
But there's a lot of text here that I really want to kind of read through. But it says in, like, capital letters in the top right, Dorothy Jennings, editor. The Gazette. Complete news for the community.
It says that?
Yeah, I'm going to take a screenshot because I, with a little bit of messing with it, you can actually see the text. I'm kind of curious if it's just filler text. For rent, I can't really see. Kind of interesting, though. It's kind of interesting. A job printing, specialized printing at Earl Hatz Press. Doesn't matter.
Funny. No, I mean, like, the whole thing is just really, like, witnesses called for what?
Yeah, and it says involves celebrity. What celebrity?
It is actually called the Cooper Poll.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's right.
It says Cooper Poll.
You know, I mean, people are going to listen to that, but I guarantee you that would make for an excellent trivia question. Like, what was the official name of Brian's poll?
You know? The Cooper Poll.
Cooper Poll. Duh. I don't know. I'm not even...
We? You both have stakes in this. As mayor, I can make the hotel much more profitable, and your contracts are percentage deals.
So Preston's basically going to Grace and Andrew and basically kind of doubling down a bit, making sure that they are going to be voting and saying that the deal's off if he doesn't win, which is kind of just a real shady type of thing. I mean,
right.
That's a real
problem. Right. Yeah. I mean, he was definitely trying to buy them.
Yeah, totally. Now we do, we get to go into their barn where, it's funny because Sully's like, he'll be out of here first light. It's like, well, I didn't know you were just going to bring him to the barn.
He'll be like out of the house.
Right.
He'll still be on the property.
Right. It doesn't make so much sense to me if he's just kind of, you know. I really didn't.
Total side note, though, speaking of property, because last night we were watching the Laura Ingalls Wilder episode, you know, when they get married on Little House. And
beautiful episode.
Yeah, I like that episode.
Yeah, me too.
But at the very beginning, we have Amanda all excited because he bought the land.
Yeah.
And then he, like, picks her up from school and brings her out. And then he's like, isn't this a perfect spot? And she's like, perfect for what? He's like, I wouldn't make this choice without consulting you, of course. Like, the spot for our house. And I'm like, you wouldn't, like, pick the house spot without consulting her, but you just went and bought all this land.
You just bought, like, 500 acres, but...
Yeah, so it's like, well... I don't care where you want to put the house, but it has to be on this this land that I've selected.
Right.
This, but like, anywhere on this land that I've selected.
Anywhere on this dust bowl. So yeah, I mean, did you happen to watch Wolf go up the stairs?
Okay. So my dogs actually do it kind of like that. They kind of do this weird little like wiggle butt.
It's really the way, I mean, they do one leg and step at a time like a person?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They don't hop up the stairs?
No, they take steps. Weird. Although they're a lot better at going up, because like when they go up, they can just kind of like, they do their little trot, you know?
Down my dogs will do that. But
So going down, though, so my dogs do the trot going up, and then going down, they kind of do it, but they're, like, more awkward about it, and sometimes, like, so, like, Dodgy's done it where he's, like, trying to get down so fast that, like, he just sort of starts, like, gliding over the steps. Like, he's not even actually taking steps because he's just, like, awkward. His legs are, like, all akimbo.
I've had dogs my whole life, and I've never seen a dog do this. I just...
Really? Yeah. So my dogs do just
going up, they do.
Going up, they do.
They walk. I mean, it's like two little people are inside Wolf's body, and they're walking up the stairs.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, I mean, they like trot. It's not really like a walk, but like, yeah, they take steps like that.
I want to see video on this.
I can take video, and actually, like, our steps, we have those, like, what do you call it, like, the floating, or whatever you call it, so you can, like, if you're standing underneath the steps, you can see them, going above you. Yeah, I'll take a video of it.
Please do.
Yeah.
So yeah, you call Preston Presti. And Preston confronts Dorothy and just kind of starts, I don't know, I find that Preston's panicking a little bit. He's getting a little bit nervous. He's used to winning.
Preston! Well, he just had a big trot up the stairs, so he's out of breath.
Yeah.
I hope I don't have to remind you that it is the editor who decides what's newsworthy.
I'm on my way to notify the army, so they can arrest a fugitive Indian and Michaela. Isn't that newsworthy enough for you?
So yeah, so he saw that the Indian was at Michaela's homestead.
Which, by the way, the only reason he was out there, it's worth noting, is the ease. Robert and Gracie, I guess. They don't ever call her Gracie. I don't know what her last name is after they get married.
Which Grace? Gracie?
But you know that they're like, hey, like Dr. Mike is like, you know, the key player here. So he's all like, oh, you're right. I need to go talk to her. So that's why he ends up at the homestead to try to change your mind. And then that's when he overhears
this juicy tidbit.
That's when Wolf's like, psst, come over here. Got something to show you.
You got those sausages? Just put them over there and come over here. I got some interesting information. Ruff, ruff,
ruff, ruff, ruff. Would they arrest Michaela?
Because she's an accomplice.
You don't know that. All you saw was Michaela treating an Indian. It doesn't mean he's the same Indian.
You're editorializing, Dorothy. Aren't you the one who keeps telling me it's your duty to report the news objectively without favoritism? You've got to beat him to the punch.
I love how Lauren's so involved. Like, you gotta do this.
I know. He's like a role. He had like a warm up in our last episode, and now he's like really taking his role as a campaign manager seriously.
Yeah. The army first. Tell them Dr. Mike has their engine.
But she supported me.
That's the point. She lifted you up. She can take you right back down with her.
You want to stay mayor? It's like you said. People judge you by who supports you. Now, I was just over by the livery. There's a couple of soldiers over there, picking up supplies.
This election is yours, Jake. Win or lose.
So it's funny, when he walks away, you get this like tiny little smile on Lauren's face, like, I did it. I convinced him.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's so expressive. There's so many like little things. And there are like 500 people in town. And they're all walking within like 5 inches of these people.
It's really crowded.
It is. It's kind of crazy. All right. So Matthew overhears that Jake is basically squealing.
And he's very mad.
And Hank's, and it's just kind of funny.
He's making us run for the Harriet face.
Yeah. But he tells the soldier, and it's just kind of funny. Preston is trying to take credit for it at the same time. And just kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit cringy in that sense where he's like, but I, you know, just it's a weird scene. So they come to the house and they find that there are fresh tracks. They decide to arrest Michaela and her baby.
They arrest the baby.
For being an accomplice. And yeah. Michaela. Yeah, exactly. She thought she was going to get out by, like, I have to feed my baby. I have to feed my baby. It's like, well, then she can come along with you.
Yeah, you're going to feed her in jail.
And Brian is interviewing his mother behind bars.
It's a Cooper policy, Brian. Who's winning? Too close to call since Jake turned you in.
She's sorry, you endorsed him now.
Sure am.
Sure. You worried, Sully?
It's at least a day's ride to the border. Another day's back.
Just come right this way. Oh, you can sit right here and make sure you get the bars of the cell and the baby. This gentleman is an artist for the Denver Post.
Come to cover the election, has he?
You sure
Preston
did.
Preston Lodge, future mayor.
Actually, he's come to draw a likeness of Michaela. A report of mine that they're printing about her arrest.
Well, well, Dorothy. You surprised me.
You're going to have a report in the Denver Post?
What's a post?
What's Denver?
with a picture.
What's a Denver?
Your ma?
That's right. It's quite newsworthy, Brian.
Brian is very, very observant. And he's really listening really closely. He's just repeating everything that was just said in the room.
That's kind of the role he plays a lot. I mean, he's had this since season one. Like the one with, what's his name? Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
When he's all like, I wish you could take a picture of the town. But you can't, because your camera's broken.
Things like
can fix it.
Things like Captain Obvious.
A doctor locked up in a jail cell with her baby, and only because she did her duty, treating a wounded man. Let's see what General Wooden has to say about that.
If you look at what he's drawing, it looks like she's holding a squirrel.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look like a baby.
She's locked up with her pet squirrel.
Aww.
Aww.
What's his name? Squirrel. Brian named him. Fake Brian named
Bizarro
him.
Bizarro Brian gave him to me.
Oh, he's rabid. Squirrel bit me.
I like squirrels.
I had a squirrel living in my roof once.
Well, actually, we had like this squirrel who did a lot of damage with our. He damaged part of our solar panels and he damaged our air conditioner. That was not cool. But when they're not damaging stuff, when they're not like inhabiting, you know, the roof, they're pretty cute.
Yeah, we have where I am in my house is in the attic top floor, and the squirrel would, I could hear it like in the ceiling.
We had that too.
And I'm like, and I just remember thinking and like kind of talking to it, like, why don't you just go away? It's like, because I hear just like noise. And this is when we first bought the house, and it was just kind of a weird thing. But we did have to hire an exterminator who caught him. We had all these traps. It's ridiculous.
Should have
dead. Yeah, but they took him away, and I bet you they drove him really far upstate New York and let him go free.
Down the town, a little farm.
Exactly. And a little squirrel farm. But, all right. So, squirrel bites Michaela.
Thank you, Dorothy.
You call that objective reporting? Sounds a bit like editorializing to me, wouldn't you say, Brian?
What's editorializing?
Editorials have their place in the paper just so long as you tell folks what you're doing.
I don't care what you call it, as long as it gets Dr. Mike out of there.
So, let me get this straight. You're using the Denver Post to try to get Michaela out of jail for a crime even she admits she committed.
Yikes. That's right.
That's right. That's what the Cooper poll's all about.
I kind of like how Preston delivers that line.
I love his voice. I like his presence. I enjoyed him in this episode. We got kind of a nice like send off to this Indian. He looks like he's recovered pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, like, pointed that out. When they're running away, it's like, can he ride? Well, it's better than walking, but kind of perilous. And suddenly he's just like, fine. I guess he had that whole day ride to get to the border, right? So a day of sitting on the horse, he's recovered. He's cured.
Yeah, so he sends him off with a little bit of a... And he's gone. And that's that. So back to the election. We're continuing to battle out. As you point out, Preston is dressed... uniquely, I'd say he's dressed a little bit more flashy than he normally would.
Yeah, and he has this like green, I guess that's like an ascot. I don't know.
Yeah, it's nice.
Very nice green color. It looks nice with his coloring. Another thing he has in common with Harriet. I know that we've been thinking Lauren is like Harriet, but I think that Preston has some Harrietisms too.
Harriet Olson, not Harriet Milky.
No, Harriet the dog. Yeah, Harriet Milky. Yeah. They have, like, these little facial expressions, and they look good in green.
All right.
Here you go. Elect me! I promise each citizen will prosper with the growth I'll bring to town.
I promise better education for our children.
Better municipal services!
Now, I just love the, like, kind of going back and forth and making all these promises, but I definitely think that Jake has the best one. And I think it's funny.
I promise to get government off your backs.
better representation in Denver! Free beer on the 4th of July!
And when he does that, it's funny because even Preston kind of points at him laughing. Kind of like he thinks it's a good one, you know?
Yeah, I know. I love that, too. Like, he's like, yeah, good one. Yeah. I'll get you up on that. I'll get 5 kegs.
Exactly.
Thing to consider. In government and business, as in life, you're known by the company you keep.
And that is why I turned Dr. Mike in. Now, we all like her, but she was breaking the law.
Then why did...
This would be a great time to play the breaking the law. Yeah. From do you want to hear the beginning?
Oh, totally.
All right. Hopefully it doesn't blast.
I mean, I think the actual part, I think it was at 30 seconds in. It's either 30 or 50 seconds into the song that it does the...
All right, let's see. Yeah, that's the chorus. I mean the verse. I'll edit this. So, yeah, she's breaking the law. I think we should use that for an alternative version of the intro song.
For any episode where someone's breaking the law.
Well, it'd be kind of funny if we start, like, digging around, like, finding theme, like, songs that kind of apply to the theme of the episode.
Yeah, I agree.
That'd be kind of fun. I have a feeling you'll find a White Stripes song or 8.
Yeah.
Did you seek and accept her support in the first place?
Now wait just a minute. As soon as I knew what was going on, I took care of it. There's nothing more important than upholding the law. Yeah. And if you elect
upholding
me,
the law, upholding the law,
upholding the law.
I promise to do just that.
Yeah. Should I get my ukulele and play Breaking the Law?
Breaking the Law.
I think I'd rather smash my ukulele. A lot of clapping in this episode. Do you notice that?
Yeah, well, yeah. Election season.
I'd be kind of doing that too. All right. So it just makes me funny when you it makes me laugh when you write the Erection Day Coffee. So just, it's so funny.
Erection Day Coffee.
But yeah, she's having a nice cup in jail. And Sully reports that they made it safely and everything's great. Even the Denver paper is going to write about it.
She's in the paper.
Oh, yeah.
He has the paper already. He gives it to her.
Yeah, like, I wonder how quickly it all went to press and stuff like that.
Yeah. And why does Sully have it so fast? It's very strange.
Yeah, it's almost like he lied about where he was going in the first place. Yeah. You know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
He actually just went to Denver, popped the guy on a train. Good luck.
Exactly. he actually took a trip back to Boston.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He left his coat there, so he had to get his other coat.
So Dr. Mike's in jail. Boston. Tells her mom.
Exactly. You're never going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe what she did. Just sit down, Byron. All right, so here we go. It's Sully visiting his... It's just funny that it's Sully who really broke the law, right? But it's Michaela who's behind bars.
I gotta get going.
Why would you just come back?
We heard what Matthew said. Polls are open. I gotta go vote.
But you're not registered to vote. And if you do register, you're getting a call for jury duty. Do they do
then
that?
When Matthew's pretending to be a lawyer, you're gonna have to sit there and do that crap.
Do they do that down there by you? Like, as soon, I don't know if you remember, like, when you registered to vote when you were a kid, like, did you get called for, like, jury duty, like, right away? It's, like, totally associated with it here.
I got called for jury duty randomly a few years ago, but it was, like, yeah, and it's only happened to me once, and it was maybe, when was that? 5 or 6 years ago, maybe?
I was called 3 times so far.
Really?
Yeah, but since I'm kind of like the dad who is home with the kid, I can use that as an excuse until he's like 18. So that's good.
There you go. With mine, I went there, but then they ended up settling out of court, so.
Oh, wait, you were actually picked for the jury?
No, they were, like, in the selection thing. Oh, so yeah. I showed up for, like, the whole selection thing, but then they were, like, they settled out of court, and then they gave me, like, $10 or something.
We didn't get paid for anything. We just, it was just awful. I just hated it so much. Civic duty.
Mike, we was wondering,
do you still support Jake, even after he turns you in?
You care what I think?
Well, speaking for myself, I must say, you standing up for your principles made me more interested in your endorsement.
Well, if I could vote, it would be for Jake.
Why?
Even after he turned you in?
It's just weird how she doesn't answer. We just get an eye wink.
So she's like very much mischievous about it.
Yeah, like I'm in jail now. That's going to be her like new thing. Like I spent time behind bars. So let's see. So Jake wins. You know, spoiler alert. So yeah, let's listen to the numbers. And it's kind of funny, right before the count, Lauren kind of thinks that there's a strong possibility that Preston is going to win, so he kind of goes up to butter him up a little bit.
You know, Preston, I've been thinking, there's a lot to what you've been saying. I was remarking...
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a final count.
People are like, I want to know. It's so weird.
Jake Slicker, 172. Preston A. Lodge III, 121.
172 and 121.
So it's like 290 something, right?
Yeah.
So 293 or something like that. So it's only like 300 people voting. I don't know. It just seemed like there were more last time. So everybody's so
like the rep comes out, Jake, 10,135.
Exactly. Like, who's in charge of this count? Brian.
Counting them all by hand.
What's a ballot, Ma? Count each one as 18. All right, so Dr. Quinn, we have the soldier in there, and he's just doing his daily reading. He's reading wanted posters.
Jake won! You did it, Ma!
Now, why did he... What do you mean, like, you did it? Do you understand?
Well, I guess because when the crowd came in, they were all like, do you still support him? And she was like, yeah, I do. So then they were like... There's but it wasn't like people. 50 people that asked that, though. Yeah. So even if, like...
Yeah, like, I think they're giving her a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Telegram from General Wooden.
Release Dr. Quinn immediately.
I guess that's swagger going on. Immediately.
You sure did.
That's not the whole telegram.
Says to release her with a warning. Being a doctor ain't no excuse for breaking the law.
Good for you. You can read.
Exactly. I read the whole thing. It was 3 whole sentences. I'm still reading it. Yeah, he's like practicing his reading. Wanted. So here, Hank is celebrating.
With champagne.
Is it real champagne? Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's, well, yeah.
Well, Hank brings it out.
That was close.
Yeah. You're close.
I don't know. Champagne in the late 19th century had to be kind of pricey.
There's one other time I can think of that we see it in the show, and that's when they are, like, christening the gold nugget.
Well,
and they have the bottle of champagne, and then Dorothy comes and just breaks it.
But they also have champagne in the movie, right?
Oh, they do, yeah. Like, when it's Dr. Mike's birthday, which is one of the few times we ever see Dr. Mike and Sully drinking. They do there for her birthday.
I don't think anywhere else, right?
They do in Boston. They go to that fancy restaurant.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to rewatch the Boston episodes pretty soon.
Yeah, they're good ones. Yeah. We should talk about them soon.
Yeah, definitely. Good talks.
Boston Palooza.
Quinn talk.
Boston Palooza.
Boston Palooza.
Yeah, the, when they go to Boston. What, so, like, what are they in Boston? Those two episodes, like the two-parter.
Chowder Palooza. Chowder Palooza.
Chowder Palooza. Big Bean Palooza.
Big Bean. Red Sox Palooza. That's all I know about Boston.
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is appoint a new town council. Hank, would you rather take horse or the reverend seat?
Horse.
My thoughts exactly.
That's so funny.
But.
Sounds like we're finally going to get to do things right.
I'm pleased to hear it.
Look who's from the coop.
Now, Dr. Mike. I had to come down on the side of the wall.
I love it. Look who sprung the coop.
The wind.
Where's your baby?
What was that?
Where's your baby? Where's your
baby? Now that I won.
The baby's still in jail.
Yeah, taking a nap.
That's true. So if you want to get technical, the telegram said release Dr. Quinn immediately.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything about the baby.
The baby's going to grow up in jail. Katie, no.
Talked about.
Oh, you were right, Jake.
I am.
And now you can do all the things that you promised to do. And I know you will.
Of course I will.
The next edition of the Gazette.
I was about to say, I'm like, do you hear that dog in the background?
My dog.
We'll report your victory, Jake. And it'll also print a list of all the things that you promised to do. And Dorothy's going to print that list every month. And every time you fulfill one of your promises, I'm going to put a nice check mark beside it. And every time you don't, it'll be there in black and white for everyone to see.
Blah, blah, blah.
For all 81 subscribers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, my dog wants to be on the town council.
Right here, you took a screen. You took several screenshots of Lauren. And I. It doesn't matter where you pause it. I have another one.
The whole time he's just doing this stuff with his face.
It's just... I cannot explain why it's so funny. It just is.
And as long as you're appointing the town council, perhaps that's an ideal promise to begin with.
I don't follow.
Well, the folks in Shantytown are counting on you to do the right thing, Jake.
Welcome to the town council, Robert Eaton.
Just wonderful.
So he's on the town council. That's a big move right there, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And like but then the reverend's booted.
Eh, but one of the prerequisites for being on a town council should be literacy, I would imagine. And can Hank read at this point?
He starts to read. We first learn about it in season 6.
Hmm.
Like early season 6 is when we first hear about it. But then by Civil Wars, he's reading law books, so he progresses very quickly.
Brian is just conflicted. He doesn't know what's going on. They pull up, and he's just sitting in the wagon, like, staring out, like, mindlessly. It's kind of strange. I'm going to play the clip.
Wait, is it? Aren't you coming, Brian? You all right? I was just thinking.
About what?
What that sergeant said. Was breaking the law the right thing to do?
Breaking the law.
It isn't always black and white, Brian. But if everybody just decided for themselves, broke the law...
It would be chaotic, I agree.
You always try to follow the law, Brian. But sometimes, when you look real hard, you can see that some laws are wrong.
And that's when you can...
How do you decide which...
What?
And that's when you commit treason.
And that's when it's okay to do it. Just not in a court of law.
Laws are right and wrong.
Unfortunately, it isn't very scientific. You have to listen to your conscience.
You'd be willing to pay the price, like your ma.
Yeah, like how she paid the price for your treason.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Comes. I'll know the right thing to do.
Or not, you know. And I just found this. I don't know if this is going to be exactly what I was looking for, so I'm just going to play it. Beavis and Butthead.
I thought it sounded like Beavis and Butthead.
Cool.
Nice.
So they're playing with a chainsaw.
Nice.
I think they do Breaking the Law like 1,000 times. So we'll find the right one and we'll plug it in and make sure it's right.
Breaking the Law.
And that's the end of the episode. It's like dun dun
like
dun.
An operatic version of it.
It's like the Little House ending, like dun 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 it.
Yeah, basically.
So, you know, I thought this was a good episode. You know, I enjoy the whole campaign palooza. I enjoy.
So which campaign do you like more? The one with Dr. Mike and Jake or the one with Preston and Jake? I think I like Preston and Jake myself.
Yeah, more I like the campaign. Preston and Jake. I would have liked to see Preston win.
Mm.
Who would you vote for?
So I was thinking about this earlier today, and
oh,
I actually think maybe I would have voted for Preston.
Yeah, I would have definitely leaned towards Preston for a number of reasons, but one of those main reasons being, you know, Preston doesn't break the law, really. I mean, not that we know of. He's, you know, he's not a criminal.
No, I mean, the aspect he is, though, like, he'd be like, I don't break laws. He cut down the kissing tree. Show me where that's a law. On the property I own.
On the property he owns, he's cutting down a tree. But he pushes his buttons. Like, what?
He makes people pay back their loans.
It hurts my feelings. He's handsome. You know, it's just strange. Everyone,
the smile is dazzling.
It's too dazzling. You know, I would just love it if he like turned to the camera and gave the big smile and his like teeth had like one of those like little like a diamond flare, like
ding. Yeah.
That's exactly what I expect every time he smiles.
Twinkle.
What has the actor been up to?
He does some theater stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, I haven't looked too far into what he's done, and he's one of these guys I would enjoy seeing on the screen more. I mean, Of course, I don't know if he still pulls this off, but I think he plays kind of like the menacing, rich James Spader type character really well.
Yeah. Well, he was in that short film with the Rev, too.
Yeah, I didn't get through that, though. Did you?
No, we didn't watch the whole thing, but at the beginning when he's that bartender dude and he's like, don't you just want to defect? It's funny. I like it.
Was it?
I like that line. It's really funny.
Is it? I'm just kidding. I quit. Abuse. Well, Kelly, as always, thank you so much for getting together for this episode. I look forward to the next one.
Yeah, so we are on the cusp of the holidays, so lots of holiday. I mean, we had some holiday stuff, the Halloween stuff, but now we're going to be like holiday binging because we have Thanksgiving.
Hey, when is the
Hanukkah
deadline?
What? Christmas.
When is the deadline for voting? I forget if we put. Did we?
I don't know that we put a deadline.
Like, do we coordinate it with the local votes that will be happening at the time?
So I think that this episode, I'm trying to think on the schedule, because I think it was the first 2 weeks of November. So
I have the schedule.
We probably couldn't coordinate it with the actual thing, because then that might not work.
Yeah, when are the elections? The beginning of November. Yeah, you have right and wrong would be November 9th. So you know what? November 9th would be the reveal for who wins. Who's won.
Oh, and we already talked about voting though.
Oh, that's right. We could do it in reverse. We can throw this one before the campaign.
That's but then right. In the last one we talked about voting too.
We could move them around. Then we'll get... A lot of people notice that when we talk about that we're going to review an episode. Not a lot of people. People notice that when we mention an episode and we don't release it, they're like, where is this episode?
One. That happened once.
Yeah, I expect it to happen more often. Very keen listeners.
If you enjoy this podcast,
please subscribe to Dr. Quincast in iTunes.